great to see all of you here tonight. We have been looking at, and what we are continuing to look at in the next few weeks, are beginning the year with a clean slate. We are on sermon number 3 on our bucket list of things to do before we kick the bucket. I know that sometimes is not something that people really like to think about, talk about, but it's really interesting whenever you look at the various things that people decide that they want to do. And many of us in life, hopefully we have, things on our bucket list that we want to do. About the time that you think you've heard everything, seen everything, you realize that you really haven't. I realized this when I read an obituary in the paper some time ago of Leslie Ray Popeye Charping of Galveston, Texas. He was 74 years old, and he died of cancer on January the 30th, 2017. His family wrote a lengthy obituary that did not only go viral, but it was read by so many people that it literally shut down their website. Now, I want you to listen to the final thoughts about this particular individual. Leslie Ray Popeye Charping was born in Galveston, Texas. On November the 20th, 1942, he passed away. On January the 30th, 2017, which was 29 years longer than expected and much longer than he deserved. Leslie battled with cancer in his latter years. He lost his battle, ultimately due to being the horse's number one, and you can fill that in. He was known for that. He leaves behind 2 relieved children, a son, Leslie Royal Charping, and daughter, Sheila Smith, along with 6 grandchildren and countless other victims, including his ex-wife, relatives, friends, neighbors, doctors, nurses, and random strangers. At a young age, Leslie quickly became a model example of bad parenting, combined with mental illness and a complete commitment to drinking, drugs, womanizing, and being generally offensive. Leslie enlisted to serve in the Navy, but not so much in a brave and patriotic way, but more as part of a plea deal to escape sentencing on criminal charges. While enlisted, Leslie was the Navy boxing champion, and he went on to sufficiently embarrass his family and country by spending the remainder of his service in the Balboa Mental Health Hospital, receiving much-needed mental health care services. Leslie was surprisingly intelligent. However, he lacked ambition and motivation to do anything more than being reckless, wasteful, squandering the family savings, and fantasizing about getting-rich-quick schemes. Leslie's hobbies included being abusive to his family, expediting trips to heaven he loved his beloved pets, fishing, which he was less skilled than with the previously mentioned. His life served no other obvious purpose. He did not contribute to society or serve his community, and he possessed no redeeming qualities besides quick-witted sarcasm, which was amusing during his sober days. With Leslie's passing, he will be missed only for what he never did, being a loving husband, father, and good friend. No services to be held. There will be no prayers for eternal peace, no apologies to the family he tortured. His remains will be cremated and kept in the barn until Ray, the family, donkeys, wood, shavings run out. Leslie's passing proves that evil does in fact die and hopefully marks a time of healing and safety for all. Can you imagine your family writing your obituary, printing it in a newspaper, and saying some of those things? Well, needless to say, tonight, it's obvious that on his bucket list, he did not have himself being committed to family matters. Tonight, what I want us to look at is, once again, some of the things that Jesus turned to in his last 6 hours on the cross, things that were important for him while suffering on a cruel, heinous, rugged cross. These were the things that Jesus thought were important to be on his bucket list and things that you and I need to look at as well. Seven of the things we've already looked at. The first thing he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness was the first thing on his mind that day. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the second thing, and it was that the thief on the cross, one to the right, died to sin. The one on the left died in sin, and the one in the middle died for sin. Tonight, what I want us to look at is, I want us to look at family matters. Family matters. Now, notice, if you will, in our passage for tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. I want us to look first of all at tonight. Love your family selflessly. Love your family selflessly. Let me tell you, this morning, Tim spoke on family. He spoke on the importance of being the kind of family that brings their children up and nurtures them in the admonition of the Lord, to bring their children up to learn honor and to learn respect and to learn the most important thing in all of life is to have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight, when I think about family matters on everyone's bucket list, unfortunately, you and I live in a very different culture today. We live in a society today that is so far different from societies of many years ago. Many of you can remember years ago, people took their family member into their home and they cared for them and they took care of them. Nursing homes, before they became popular places for people to go and to live out their days, it was that grandchildren and children grew up around the aging and the elderly. They learned respect. They learned to care for them. They learned to realize that family was so vitally important. In our world today, far removed because of so much technology, because today if you want to keep up with family members, you either do it on Facebook, you either do it in text messaging, because that's just the generation that we live in. We call the generation sometimes a disposable generation. They're not really interested in your belongings anymore, maybe your money, but they're not really interested in your belongings. Those are the things that they take and they pass off to the pawn shops or they pass off in a garage sale, and they really don't want those things. They're not interested in the dishwasher. They're interested in something that they can throw away. And so therefore, this generation has somewhat been termed the disposable generation. When I see what Jesus said from the cross that day, notice in verse 25, 26, and 27, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Now, I am sure that if you, how many of you are mothers out there tonight? We've got a lot of mothers, and only a mother knows a mother's love for her child. To go through those days of pregnancy, to go through the valley of the shadow of death in delivering that child. Here, the one who loved Jesus supremely was his mother. She stood that there that day at the cross. And then notice Jesus' aunt was there. She was another Mary, the wife of Clopas. And then there was the third Mary that was at the cross that day, and that was Mary Magdalene. And of course, she is the one that anointed Jesus' body. She's the one that was so appreciative of all that Jesus had done in her life. And verse 26 says, when Jesus saw his mother there. When Jesus saw his mother there. You and I live in a society today where a lot of kids don't have their mother there. They don't have their mother present with them. Notice when Jesus saw his mother there. Now, if you can get the picture, and you and I could not even begin to imagine, we could look at a portrait that is painted of Christ on the cross. We could see on that a crown plated with thorns in his brow. We could see the drops of blood that are there. We could see him hanging on the cross, but that would not even begin to picture the scene of crucifixion. If you can only imagine, as Jesus is writhing, as he is trying to catch the next breath. But what is on his mind that day was others. Others to ask forgiveness for those that were crucifying him, knowing that they really did not know that they were crucifying the Son of God. He had told them who he was. They did not believe him. And so an innocent man stands hanging on a rugged cross, not guilty of what he's being accused of, dying for sins that he never committed. If you and I could only begin to get just a minute shot of the cross that day, and Jesus trying to breathe and do all of the things that was necessary in these moments. And Jesus looks down from the cross, and once again, he's thinking of others. We looked at how he looked at the two thieves on either side of him, how they had railed against him, how they had cursed him with all kinds of profane thoughts. And yet, then one of those thieves turns in conviction and conversion and asks for Jesus to remember him that day in paradise. The other thief on the cross, because of his pride, because of his arrogance, because he rejected Christ, he would go out into all eternity separated one of these days in a devil's hell for all of eternity. Mary is standing at the cross. She's watching the Son of God, the one that she had taken care of. She's watching him die. Verse 26 says, when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, John is penning the words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. And John always referred to himself in his writings, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's the way John referred to himself personally. John, the beloved disciple, the one Jesus loved. It wasn't that Jesus didn't love the rest of them. It's just the way that John identifies who this is in the narrative of the text. So when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, notice what Jesus says to his mom. Woman, here is your son. Now, you might look at that. You know, all through Scripture, we never see where Jesus called his mother, mother. But in those ancient Jewish days, the word woman there was used as a respectful title. And so Jesus says, woman, here is your son. And then in verse 27, and to the disciple, Jesus said to John, here's your mother. from that time on, this disciple, that's John, he took her, that's Mary, Jesus's mother, into John's home. Now you might say, well, where was Joseph at this time? Well, we don't have an account other than the fact that Joseph obviously was already deceased at this time. You might look around and say, well, what about Jesus had brothers and sisters? Where were they in the narrative, all of this? How come they did not take their mother home with them? If you will remember, Jesus's siblings did not even believe in Jesus and who he was until after the resurrection. So was it that his brothers and sisters did not care what was taking place that day at the cross? Were they too busy? Were they too involved? Were they so far removed from what was taking place in the life of Jesus? You see, you and I would have to speculate about a lot of those questions that might arise in our mind. But there on the cross, Jesus, one of the most important things was the fact that Jesus was thinking about others in his moments of dying. Jesus was thinking about his mother. And one of the things on his bucket list, one of the seven last things in the last 6 hours of his life, was not only first forgiveness for those that were perpetrating the crime and the crucifixion against Jesus. Secondly, not only was he thinking of the thief on the cross that reached out by faith to receive him and the forgiveness that was rendered there. But thirdly, Jesus was thinking on his bucket list about his mother. It was important to Jesus to make sure that his mother was going to be cared for. And so in this particular moment, Mary is experiencing, if you're a mom here tonight, I understand by personal experience through the years of dealing with parents, moms that have lost children, that one of the most horrible things that you can ever experience in life is to lose one of your children. And some of you here tonight have been through that, and you are the writers of the book on the grief of the loss of a child. Those that have never been through that experience could never even begin to fathom or to understand or to even minusculely catch a glimpse of what that would be like. Only those that have experienced that know the incredible pain and the sorrow and the grief that they bear all the days of their life. And here Mary was. She was standing at the foot of the cross, no doubt weeping profusely, looking at her son who claimed to be the Son of God. And I mentioned a few moments ago, the last account that we had of Joseph was when Jesus was in the temple and he was talking Bible to some of the leaders of the church. That's the last account we know about Joseph there. And so Joseph is probably passed off of the scene. And one of the things that was so important to Jesus was that his mother was taken care of. When you see the lack of respect in the day that you and I live in, I don't know about you, but I can tell you, most of us had mothers that were people that we love dearly and deeply. Godly mothers. Let me tell you, that's so important in the life of a young person. And there are a lot of kids that don't have that. They're not privileged to grow up and have that kind of a mom. But there on the cross, Jesus would take a, we can take this great lesson from him, that Jesus thought one of the most important things was to make sure that his mother was cared for. I would say to each one of us here tonight, may we live our lives in such a way to love family selflessly, to think about other people. You see, I think that is one of the greatest things that can be on your bucket list. Secondly, tonight, I want us to know, leave your family thoughtfully. Jesus has just assured his mother that she's going to be taken care of and looked after. Now, she understands that, I'm sure, at this particular moment. But there in verse 27 in the New International, John takes Jesus' mother as his own mother. And she will go and she will live, obviously, with him according to what we read here in the scripture. Now, Jesus is at the peak of his agony. He's at the peak of torment and suffering and pain. And he's working hard just during these moments just to be able to survive, to be able to breathe. And all of a sudden, Jesus realizes the most important thing in all of life are to take care of these issues of life because they are so vitally important. I was visiting with someone in law school this past week. And they were talking in one of their classes on wills, estates, and probate. That one of their law professors at OU, at Oklahoma University, said the worst thing in the world that people can do is leave their original copy of their will in a safety deposit box. And she was speaking to the fact that her college professor was telling them all of the many things that people do that they shouldn't do. Because then when you die, your safety deposit box, that's all locked until they can determine who is going to be the executor or the executrix of your will and estate. And she was just referring to a lot of the issues that come up in law classes and how that things need to be taken care of and how they need to be looked at. Jesus looked at some of the situations of life, and Jesus determined here that this was so important to look at family and to think about his family and to realize that it was so vitally important that his mother be taken care of. Talk about practical application. I read the other day that 75% of all Americans die without a will. That would mean only 25% of Americans. If there are some 325 million, 350 million Americans today, I'm often reluctant about quoting statistics because if you've ever noticed, if you've ever read much, it depends on who you're reading. It depends on what poll is taken, what the statistics are. And all of these statisticians give out various statistical data. And so sometimes to get at the real heart of what it is, you know, I've heard we have 325 million in America. I've heard we have 350 million in America. I read the other day there are 193 countries in the world. Some say there are 203 countries in the world. So, you know, when you look at some of these kinds of things, but at least it gives us sort of a picture. But I read that percentage that 75% of Americans do not have a will. And those are some things that people should take into account and make sure. Because if you don't have a will, the state of Oklahoma has one for you if you live in Oklahoma. Jesus realized he wanted to leave his family thoughtfully. And he looked down from the cross and he thought of his mother. And he saw his mother. And it was so important to him that she be taken care of. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to visit with hundreds of people in nursing homes, lots of people that have had to dispose of the things that they have collected for years and years and years. I often talk with family members and they'll say, "Mom kept every bank statement since 1925. Any of y'all ever experienced that? Mom kept every newspaper clipping for the last 50 years. Well, let me tell you, if you don't dispose of some of those things, somebody's going to dispose of them for you. Any of you ever gone to estate sales and seen family pictures? Well, who wants to buy somebody's family pictures? Did you realize the generation today, they want it all on disc? So family pictures now have become something that people are not interested in. I've seen people saying it's sad nobody wanted their pictures. And maybe this sermon tonight is for you. Go home and clean out your drawers and get rid of some of the things you don't need. Because if you don't, somebody's going to do it for you one of these days. And so if it's important to you, then you better give it to them while they're living and tell them the story about it. Jesus looked at his mother. It was vitally important that Mary be taken care of. Third and lastly, on this family matters situation. Lead your family spiritually. Lead your family spiritually. Let me tell you, there's one thing every one of us have in common. We all have with our parents. Jesus dies fulfilling the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and mother. To honor your father and mother. Let me tell you, you're never too old to honor your parents. You're never too old, mom and dad, to be honored by your children. And as we thought about that this morning, the respect that is thrown out the window. Kids are not taught respect in the home. They're certainly not going to respect the teachers in the school system. What, as Jesus looked at the final moments of life, and Jesus saw things that were so necessary to take care of, and these were some of the most important things that Jesus noticed. Let me tell you, to forgive others. If we are not willing to forgive, why should we be forgiven? And so Jesus speaks about the issue of forgiveness and forgiving others. And then he speaks about this issue of family matters. Lead your family spiritually. Lead your family spiritually. How on earth do you lead your family? Well, number one, if you don't lead your family while they are young and impressionable little children, once they leave home, you can't very well control what they do. I have parents all the time that say to me, such and such and such and such, about this or that, and my deal is this: you can't control that anymore. They don't live under your roof. Now, if they live under your roof, you can control it. But you know, once you've reared your children, if you reared them in the city, you raised them in the country. Well, let me tell you, once you have reared or raised your children, let me tell you, they belong to their own generation. You can't always fix everything that's broken. You cannot always, you can give your advice, your unsolicited advice, which they don't appreciate. So no wonder Jesus spoke about the little children. Let me tell you, how many of you tonight learned about Jesus when you were a little child in Sunday school, in vacation Bible school, all over the sanctuary tonight? Let me tell you, if we do not grow them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then let me tell you, it's anybody's guess as to which road they'll go down in life, what they will do, what they will believe, what they will accept. And Jesus looked at the family, and Jesus, if you can only imagine, as Jesus hung on the cross, knowing that his own siblings didn't believe him. They didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. It would only be after the resurrection that those things would happen. So as Jesus looked down from the cross, he knew what it was like to not be believed by even members of his own family. You know, there are a lot of kids that go out into the world. All they're looking for is the blessing. They're looking for the blessing. There was a book that was written some years ago. It's one of my favorite books because it speaks about the blessing. The father passing the blessing on to the child. There are a lot of kids tonight that have gone down the wrong roads because they never felt like the blessings were passed on to them. They never felt like they could live up to the expectation, maybe of the mom or the dad. Or you look around at sports and you see that so many kids, not everybody was born to be an athlete. Not everybody was born to be a Jim Thorpe. Not everybody was born to be some great football or basketball or track star out there in life. You see, some were born for other areas. And so oftentimes, parents make a big, bad mistake by trying to force upon the child what they themselves wish they could have been themselves. Have you ever noticed that? In many of the weddings, where you have the conflict. It's between the bride's mom and the other mother. Hello, are y'all out there? Yeah, be a preacher. I love to just sit back and say, y'all fight it out. And when you decide, let me know, and I'll do my part. But you know, so many times it's the mother of the bride that wants the wedding to be like what she wished she would have had back when she got married and she didn't. We do so many things in life that are so wrong. And then we wonder, why does the honor, why does the respect go out the window? What changed? What changed respect? What changed when people honored their parents and loved their parents and cared for their parents and took care of their parents? Jesus, from the cross that day, looked out and said, behold your mother. Jesus was saying, John, the beloved, I need you to take care of my mother. I need you to make sure that everything is well for her in the days to come. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Lead your family spiritually. Jesus would say, God, family, church. I believe Jesus would say in that order, God, your family, your church. Would you stand as we pray together tonight?